Blog Talk Radio.
Too much work and I'm spent. Too much pressure and I'm bent. Got no time to move ahead. If you heard one thing that I've said, that all these little things in life, they all create this haze. There's too many things to get done, and I'm running out of
we
You act concerned, but then why turn away? When a lady was raped on your doorstep today. Oh, well, your black star crying, but your back is still turned. And your freaks are dying, but your back is still turned. You better stop your hiding, or you come to a burn. The time has come for you, my friend. To all this ugliness, so in the falling end. And the fall will leave, we must make a stand. Oh,
hi and welcome to Cosmic Voice again on Thursday the 5th of June. What promises to be quite an exciting show with Mr. Fulford coming on in the second hour. And we we'll have quite a few questions for Ben, and I'm going to apologise now if I don't get to your questions this evening. Generally, when we have guests come on, we don't get round to all your questions, so I apologise in advance. The first song was for Kirk, and the second one was for Drake, and I'll let him explain why he chose that song. Hi, Drake.
Hello.
How's things?
Well, most of them are all right. How's yours?
Yeah, doing okay.
I've done this once before. I'm going to do it again. People seem to be missing things. I posted a thing on Facebook about the beer being too cold and the couch too comfy and a few other things like that. I want everybody to pay attention to what I've got to say. Now, we can, if need be, put the text of this up. It's a little bit lengthy, but you know, it's a possibility. I want to do you a couple of things in terms of understanding. If you're ignorant, you don't know how to be a carpenter or a plumber or other things. If you don't know how things work, their definition, you do not have a clue as to how it works. You won't recognize it, even if it's dangling right in front of your face. Okay. And this is going to get a little bit fun. An imperial, an adherent, or soldier of the Holy Roman Emperor. Ooh, here we go. Yeah, hello, Vatican and a few other people. Imperialism. Imperial government, authority, or system. Two. The policy, practice, or advocacy of extending the power and dominion of a nation, especially by direct territorial acquisitions or by gaining indirect control over the political or economic life of other areas. Ooh, think USA, UK, EU, Canada, you name it. Where are they not killing somebody? There's a method to this madness. Called fascism. It's a political philosophy, movement, a regime that exalts nation above the individual and that stands for a centralized, autocratic, I'll explain that one in a minute, government headed by a dictatorial leader, severe economic and social regimentation, and forcible suppression of opposition. My goodness. A tendency toward or actual exercise of strong autocratic or dictatorial control. Think military. And brutality. Huh. Well, let's see. Everybody knows about Syria and the Ukraine's coming up. Sound familiar? Here's the political condition. Socialism. Oh, everybody hears all these things and going, we've heard all this before. Yeah, but you didn't pay attention. Socialism is a slow burn of fascism and communism, exercised through slow social adjustment and changes in law. Ooh, autocracy. That's the nasty little big word used above. Government in which one person possesses unlimited power. Think dictator. Now we're going to have some lawless. As a question, lawless? How many times has official broken laws? Judges ruled against law. Offer a public challenge, starting on Facebook. I stipulated very clearly what I think of it all. And I'm going to tell you right now, the prisoner swap was an effort to enjoin. Everybody was looking at the VA problem. Then that's kind of all of a sudden went by the wayside into an enjoyment of the exchange, which I covered in that post, by the way. It was illegal. Obama did not have the right to do that. I didn't say it was not the right thing to do. However, there are certain parameters you have to follow, whether you like it or not, no matter whether you're commander-in-chief, long-legged Mac Daddy in the White House, or who you might be. You got certain things you got to follow. Now, here's the problem, and I'm going to get into the veterans thing just very lightly. when a person joins the military, they have a contract between the military. irrespective as to what branch or what your level of service or whatever might be, that stipulates one simple thing, all right? That any adversity encountered upon the field of battle, don't matter what the field of battle is, but is usually most reasonably directed towards combat. So in other words, you're out there shooting at people that are shooting at you, blowing stuff up and other guys and all this happy stuff and running around acting like John Wayne, for want of a better description. There are approximately 1 million veterans that I know of who have been denied any services, compensation, or treatments because they had a pre-existing condition. Ooh. Now, this has been known for quite some time that the pre-existing condition existed in a number of areas, not just one, but there's a number of them. I'm going to pick on a thing called PTSD. A lot of people don't like the disorder. Well, it is a disorder. If you got nightmares, hyper vigilance, and a whole bunch of other little fun things that you get to deal with on a daily basis generally, you've got a case of PTSD. Whether you like to admit it or not, don't make no difference. Everybody, I want this understood, has it if they go to the battlefield or close quarters to or close proximity to a field of action. It's called combat readiness. It flips, the switch flips as soon as you get into a position where you understand what's happening. And from then on, you're done. Just don't mean you're done as in terms of fried and finished. What it means is that you have PTSD. It's a disorder, and it's permanent. Anybody says different is a liar. Anybody says you get better, ain't been there. They didn't go. They don't know. Just that simple. It's not complicated. So that's going to leave us with a couple of things to consider. If you knew about a pre-existing condition where somebody was not going to get treated for problems that you presented them with, then you're guilty of fraud. Hello, VA. Hello, DOD. Guess what? If there is a veteran out there who is willing to challenge these people on this basis, I'll give you my best assistance. Get in touch with us. And I'm going to tell you why. They are still sending people, deploying people, and to date they're not testing for a thing called personality disorder, which makes you more prone to have the problem known as PTSD, which denies any and all assistance of any kind from the Veterans Administration when you come back. Whew, think about that. Think about that very carefully. They just let you go nuts in the woods or whatever the situation may be. A lot of people jumped them down and harped loud and long, and they got a lot to say about something they don't know anything about. I've talked to a whole bunch of people. Veterans of different anything really, different services, different personalities, different origins and all belief systems and all that. I've talked them down. A bunch of them, they had the gun to their head. They were going to turn off they couldn't stand it no more. That's why they were looking to turn it off. Finality. It would be better to be dead than to continue under those conditions. Hello, VA. Hello, DOD. Guess what? You sent them after you knew. This means you're obligated, whether you like it or not. Don't make a damn bit of difference. None. The fun and games is just about to get ready to start. I'm going to open a can of worms on my own here, dealing with the so-called services supplied to me by the VA. We're going to open a can of worms, and they ain't going to like it. They decided to play games, so it's my turn. Now, any form of affliction that is accrued, acquired, acerbated on the battlefield belongs to the VA. Okay, the VA is overloaded. Why? Because they've been cutting it down. They want the expended ammunition to go away. Now, I stipulated in that post that everybody's jumping up and down and hollering about, we don't leave nobody behind. We're not like that. We don't do that. We have honor and whatnot. We serve with distinction. I'm going to tell you something. If what's been said about that sergeant is true, two things would have happened. His people, whether he's in charge of them or not, had a choice. Let him go over and get a taste and see what it's like, or just kill him. Oh, yeah, that's right. Cowardice in the face of the enemy. Desertion on a battlefield. It calls for immediate execution. I told somebody no once, high-ranking officer, he come out with his 45, and we had a little do-si-do. We did some dancing around that LZ. And I'm not ashamed of it, or I'm not proud of it, but I ain't ashamed of it either. I'm not going to tell people to go out and get killed just for the fun of it. Well, we need somebody to go out there and draw fire. Dude, there's other ways to do it. Oh, I don't hear that. You're going. If you left the bunker, went up and sat down. Anyway, that's part of my stuff. Court martial didn't stick because they found out I was very dangerous. The situation is simple. We got a whole bunch of people out there who are not getting what they need. And I mean, when they come back, the moment they come back to American soil, each and every last one of them needs to have at least the treatment that is posted on our website, AmericanNationalMilitia.com. This gives them the capability to fight back. If there's more that should be added or could be added or that will help them, fine. Now, that posting is simple. It gives you the tools to tell that savage renegade to go screw off. You don't got to put up with that shit. No, you don't have to wake up screaming all the time. I did this for me. Real selfish reasonings. And then I reworded it from me to something everybody could use. I thought, well, maybe somebody else. And I have given that to people and made a difference in their life. Oh, what a gratification that is. It helped me, and now I can give it to somebody else. I can reach out and calm the quivers and quakes and screams and bad memories by just simply giving them some tools. Yeah, you know, everybody don't know it. I mean, the weapons that a combat person carries are his tools. It's like a carpenter carries certain tools to accomplish certain things. You carry different ones. That's all. Well, these tools let you hit that turkey over the head and give him a flat spot. You can actually make most of the memories and problems go away pretty quickly. If you're at the point of, I can't stand it no more, definitely see that post. You don't have to end it in order to end it. You don't have to be permanent about this. You can be mostly permanent. You ain't ever going to forget. That ain't going to go away. You stepped into something that is unconscionable. There is no absolution or redemption from that. You never do get absolute peace until you do die of old age and the memories fade somewhere. But in the meantime, you don't got to grab the old lady by the throat. You don't got to stand up in the middle of the bed in the middle of the night screaming, ready to kill. You ain't got to go through all this happy horse manure. You don't have to have friends scrape you off the ceiling, or you don't have to go to the dope or the alcohol to get relief. This will give you relief consciously. And believe me, you can attack this mother. And I mean attack it hard. Don't matter if you really did it of your own volition and it's nasty. Doesn't matter. You can actually regain and implement serious control of it. You won't be hearing it all the time. Certain noises are going to set you off, called triggers, keys, that sort of thing. It's all mentioned in that post. I didn't hide nothing. I couldn't. Ain't nothing there that can be hid. Everybody that comes back from the battlefield needs to be treated, at the very least, with this. Number two, as they stand down, according to some of the newer treatments that do work, so that people can come back to some kind of normalcy, but before you go getting with your families and whatnot, before you go trying to get back into society. You don't need to kill yourself. You don't need to off yourself to stop it. This gives you the tools to fight back. And one of the things I stipulate in that, and this can apply to a whole bunch of different things. It's a kind of a blanket statement. It applies to the VA, DOD, the people that knew about what was going to happen to you before it happened but couldn't train you for it or thought they couldn't. Heartbreak Ridge, the movie. One guy falls out, and he says he went over and talked to him, and the troop got up and took off with a new zip on life, running around screaming. The major or the colonel or whatever he was asked Gunny, what did you say to that guy? He said, he looks the guy in the eye and says, I told him don't give the bastard the satisfaction, sir, and commenced to walk on with his unit. Now, I'm going to tell you the same thing. Don't give the bastard the satisfaction, whether it's that savage renegade that likes to pop up nice memories that you don't need. I would suggest you don't let the DOD or VA slight you on this. This is why I'm asking. Somebody needs to take him to task. And you do that, I would suggest you do that with a lawsuit. Now, I've read some things. And if you think about it very, very carefully, you'll find that in the Ukraine, they're using troops against civilians. I don't know if you watch RT News. That's the only, RT and Al Jazeera, the two places I've seen the videos. They're bombing hospitals, blowing civilians away on the street. Now, fascism? Hoo-wee. Communism don't hold a candle to that. I'm telling you. Russia gets funky at times, or has, but I ain't seen nothing much like this. I mean, Tiananmen Square in China, I mean, yeah, you got incidents. This is in order to wipe them out. The people in eastern Ukraine are fleeing by the tens of thousands. Anybody that can walk and has something they can take with them so that they can make a trip, they're going. Lou Dobbs on Fox News had some pictures and video of kids from our southern border. Same immigration problems. They want to make refugees of all of us, drive us out. Why do you think they have those forest fires and don't put them out? They got the capability to put them out. Don't mistake that. I've known some fire jumpers, and I know what they can do. And I'm telling you right now, they can put them fires out almost immediately. Why don't they? Well, if you destroy the natural habitat, hello, BP. Oh, hello, state of Florida. Oh, my. We destroy the natural habitat, and the way of life of being able to live off the land goes away. Think about it. It's real simple. You can't be independent if you ain't got nothing to eat. Oh, yeah, and you can have water to drink. I wonder where the water went. Hello, weather wars. I mean, you take this in a big lump, and it's like them dung beetles, as they call them. They roll stuff up into balls and pack the little ball around with it. I mean, you talk about rolling up a ball. I mean, this is a monumental stinker. But what you have to understand is this is real. I mean, and I can't emphasize any more strongly than what I started on Facebook. I offer a public challenge, and that challenge is this. You want to straighten it out and fix it? Get in touch with us, specifically me. No, I ain't going to be nice about it either. But what I tell you will work. I'm not going to lead you down a primrose path to problems. The reason I wouldn't do that is this is my country. Don't belong to a government that don't exist anyway. Corporation, if you can call it. That ain't a government. Sorry, it don't qualify. what I'm seeing is heartbreaking to me. I love my country. I just about can't stand it. Now, serve with honor. We're not going to leave nobody behind. Obama said that over and over and over. I don't know if anybody's paying attention to the news, but you need to watch it, and you need to make note and take note, and you need to hold him and everybody that thinks it's cute responsible for this. And I'm going to tell you what it is. We've got veterans out there who are dying and have died for lack of treatment. Well, McCain and some others got together, and they put forth the legislation that ought to be approved almost immediately. I'm saying tomorrow. Forget the BS of playing with it. Tomorrow. Don't leave nobody on the battlefield. Well, ladies and gentlemen, when you come home from the war, you think the war is over, and you find out it ain't. You're still on the battlefield. Who are you fighting now? I'd like to get a prosthetic where my leg got blowed off. I'd like to not have to lay in a bed in Walter Reed and have fecal matter and other things from the leaky toilet upstairs dropping on me. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how graphic and nasty I can make this so people get what's going on. This is what your government thinks of you as well. You don't count as much as the veterans. And you see what they're doing to them. Now, how about this? Oh, we're going to fire some people. Bullshit. You kill somebody, you need to answer for it. Quit playing with it. Quit playing with yourself in public. Some people can only take so much. You're going to find that there's going to be a bunch of people out there that are going to start losing it in a way that you don't want them to do that. You're liable to find that there's some of these people that are experts in the woods and whatnot come seeking you out when you least expect it, and you won't see them coming. Never know they was there. All that happy stuff, all the stuff I've been talking about. You can't screw over a million people and get away with it, I'm telling you. These people are going to start losing it in a different direction. Maybe I ought to just shoot one of them before I shoot myself in the head. That sounds like a good idea. Let's go. You get the picture? You people think you're immune. You think you're protected. You think that this don't matter. And believe me, it matters. I mean, now we got the administration coming out saying that the people that served with the Sarge that they just rescued, this, this so-called honorable serviced dude, they're telling him, but he walked off. But they're not reliable witnesses. Bullshit. They were there. Was you there? No, but I'm an administrator, and I say what goes. Now, here we go with this stuff again that I just stipulated. I mean, it's not difficult to understand. Policy, practice, or advocacy of extending the power and dominion of a nation. That is the untouchables. That is the people who think they got the ticket to ride. Secretary of Defense, quit playing with it. Dude, you got people that have already given video testimony on national news stipulating the dude was a traitor. I'm sorry. Well, yes, I know you need to investigate before you come out and say so, but State Department, Mr. John Kerry, the guy who got his Purple Hearts from cut fingers, Mr. I know how it is to be on the battlefield, is stipulating that these people are not reliable witnesses. Well, Kerry, you about as reliable as the Band-Aids they used on you, and I know where we could apply one, personally. So, here's how it goes, and here's what I feel, and here's what I think. People need to pay attention. We need to get things together in such a manner that these people can no longer ignore us. Now, there's two ways to do that. We get all excited and go off half-cocked at the wrong time, and it's going to be a mess. And we're going to be on the receiving end of it. You know, that sticky end of the stick that you don't want to grab hold of? Okay, that's what I'm talking about. I have been advised that there are things in the works, and it's very close to the point where we will be able to take our actions. The majority of the military, contrary to popular belief, and other people are with us. And yeah, Obama, you can go through the ranks and cull everybody else out. Until you get rid of all of them, you won't know who it is. Why? Because they're being quiet and being careful. Oh, yeah, we'll open fire on civilians, sure. Like hell. You don't get it. The worm has turned. You guys are losing badly. And it's getting ready to pop. Now, I don't know if people watch the Facebook page much. I don't know if people pay attention to the news. But dual citizenship's about to be outlawed in Russia. Whew, we ought to do that here. Choose. You either here or you go wherever it is that you stipulate your loyalties lie. You can have one set of loyalties. You can't serve two masters. Oops. Yeah. It's not difficult to get this stuff right. Biblical principle does apply. I don't believe the whole thing, but biblical principle does apply, and it stipulates that. So where does this leave us? Well, we're kind of on the edge of the threshold of a dream kind of thing where eeny, meeny, chilly, beanie is liable to pop up at any point. As soon as I start hearing things that stipulate and affirm that it's ready in time, I'll let everybody know, believe me. Now, here's the other part. I stipulated in that post that I know what it takes, not a good about it, to how to get the job done. In other words, anybody out there who's listening, or somebody you know who might be interested, I want everybody to think about this very carefully. I tried it once before. I'm going to say it one more time. I couldn't believe that there was the small amount of response we got. But, and you guys can do this on your own and wherever your location might be. Snatch one, under arrest. The paperwork can be supplied to you so that it's legal, lawful, and above board. And I don't care what Obama and the rest of the bankers think as to Crimea was illegal. Oh, these votes are illegal. Oh, this don't count. Right. Well, we got a stipulation. It's called a constitution. You don't like it? Leave. Yeah, that's what I said, and I ain't playing with it. You don't like our constitution? Go someplace. You don't like our laws? Leave. Very simple. So, I'm making that offer one more time. We need to grab one of them, or more. Three or four, all around the nation would be a good deal, good way to go. Then they won't have no idea which way to jump, or let alone where they went. There's some hiding places these people have no clue about. Oh my! And I wanted to get this up and running tonight. I wanted to stipulate the definitions. Holy Roman Emperor, a soldier. Not somebody that merely follows, but somebody that actually goes into combat for whatever the dictate is, policy, practice, or advocacy of extending the power and dominion of a nation, especially by direct territorial acquisitions or by gaining indirect control over the political or economic life of other areas. Ooh, ever hear of the central bank? Hello, Rothschild. My, my. Then, of course, you got the fascism going on in Syria and Ukraine, where the military is used against their own people. That's real swift. I mean, forcible suppression of opposition. How many suicides we had in this country? How many people have gotten blown up accidentally? Oh, the water here lost its cool. A tendency toward or actual exercise of strong autocratic or dictatorial central control. Think military. That's one, and brutality. How brutal is it to shoot people, especially those who are unarmed? Well, it's been going on forever. Military has been going in, wiping out whole peoples, whole races. But that's not an excuse for a so-called civilized grouping of nations. We're only as civilized as you feed the meat to the right dog. That's basically what they're saying. The Ukraine is Ukrainian government is a bunch of appointed bankers, and you can look it up. I mean, it's already been on the news. You know, they work with the central banking system. Who's in charge? Who owns it? Who controls things? Who, you know, who are their puppets? Oh, the government here and the government there and that person there and this one over here, and we own you. That's the idea. Well, we're too big to fool with. Too big to fail. Want to bet? You're about to be took down. You don't know it because you refuse it. You think you're protected and got a ticket to ride. The only problem is that ride, it ain't there no more. It's been eliminated. The next stage in this is going to be taking you down. Now, I hope that there are any kind of oligarchs or wealthies or ticket-to-rides out there who listen to this, because you're going to have to realize this, and it's going to become real. What you going to do when none of your credit cards work and you can't get to any of your money? What are you going to do then? That's the ideology behind this. We are looking, and when I say we, you got riots everywhere, all over the world. They're beginning to take issue with your existence. When the states do it, the United States stands up and says, enough. You best believe that's enough. There's quite a few other countries waiting on us to do just exactly that. And it's going to start right here. I'll tell everybody it's right now. It ain't going to start right here. It's going to start in Europe. It's going to start in Europe. And it's going to be nasty when it happens. So I think everybody needs to be prepared to survive a little bit, be independent, protect yourself, and know your hands and a big stick ain't going to do it. You need a gun, firearm. I don't care if you don't like the idea of pointing and pulling a trigger at somebody, but you may end up having to do just that. I'm hoping it don't come to that. We're going to try to maintain services. The people I've talked to have already, not really guaranteed, but stipulated that, you know, you might be out of power 2-3 days. But it'll come, you know, when it starts coming back on, then you'll know that they have taken over the power plant and reinitiated things. You might be a little delayed on deliveries, you know, like groceries and stuff, so I have a couple of weeks ready. You know, be sure you got enough time. We're looking at maybe 2-3 days at the most of any interruptions of any kind. Think about that. Then we got a whole bunch of high-level areas to take out. HAARP is one of them. The Weather Wars fanatics. There's some boats at sea that have these things on board that might want to consider, when they hear the news, of dropping them in the ocean, because you're going to be checked. And if you got it, we're going to sink your butt. All hands, sorry. Hope your life preserver works. Hope you got lots of shark repellent. I mean, you know, this is not going to be nice. It ain't going to be pretty. It takes somebody with a military conscience to be able to do this stuff. I done been there and done it. I know I can do it. My mind will handle it. I don't like it much. Might have to walk outside and scream every once in a while to lose the tension. But this is just that real. Tom, we got any questions for me today?
Yes, we have, Drake. Sorry.
That's all right.
That was where we go.
That's my little dissertation for right this minute anyway.
Yes. Ben will be on in about just after the top of the hour, so I've already made contact with him.
Okay.
Right. Drake, if that crook named Eric Holder is in charge of the Justice Department, then there is a plan to bypass him. Is there a plan to bypass him for the mass arrests to happen?
Yeah, but it's more like we're going to take out the trash. I mean, the boy's going in the round file, along with several of his cohorts. There's a bunch of people in the higher parts of the administration that are going to suddenly go. They have to. There's no other way to retain control correctly without that. Eric Holder is going to be put out of the way in chains. along with a bunch of others. And this will clear the path for us to take care of business. Now, in terms of mass arrests, you'll have smaller ones than larger ones, probably. They would like to take this down one or two Z at a time, but there's too many. And they're beginning to see this. They're beginning to find out how far this goes. So, consequently, anybody who has been part and party to what's been going on, most probably will be collected and arrested. And it may take some time to do this. I don't know if it'll happen in the middle of the night or, you know, they wait until they're in sessions and come in, lock the door and say, all right, I'm over here. We're going to play proctologist and go from there. I don't know how it's going to work exactly. Okay?
Yeah. Is there an esoteric or historical significance of Crimea in relation to the Khazarians and its pyramids?
Yeah, but that's involved. let's see here. I would suggest that you check for offshore edifices, ancient temples and cities and whatnot in that area, and it'll give you some education that they don't normally offer. Okay?
Right. In reference to the article, The Great American Adventure, by Judge Dale, he mentions being able to access your account via how much is on it and how much can be borrowed against it, your birth certificate and social security card. How can we access that to find out the amount?
You can't as of yet. You'll have to wait until after the government is reset. And at that point, there'll be disclosures as to valuations. Now, I will suggest that you don't look at that as some kind of hitting a jackpot kind of deal, because it is going to be a borrowing, not something that was falsely perpetrated on you. Whether or not it really has intrinsic value is still questionable. We'll have to see the full of the structure, which is not available until the reset. Okay.
Is David Chase Taylor at truther.org legitimate? Seems every other day there's a false flag event somewhere that he claims was foiled because of his revelations. A lot of what he covers is interesting and believable, but something triggers my BS detector.
Yay, raw for the BS detector. Anybody that plays a revelation game or that sort of thing, I have a tendency to just simply not pay attention to. I usually find that their information is incorrect at best. I've researched a few of them. Oh, I got this incident here. Oh, really? Okay. Well, I just happen to know somebody that lives in that city. I'm going to get in touch with them and ask them, go check it out. And when they did, they said, no, I don't know where this guy's getting that imaginary stuff. And that's basically what I found with each and every last one of them. So I don't play that game. Next.
What exactly is going to happen to the U.S. dollar on July the 1st?
I don't know. I'd wait until the 4th and celebrate. The time frame is premised on the hourglass theory, and you're going to have to look that up because I'm not going to explain it. It's too involved. In terms of finance, in terms of the dollar, in terms of intrinsic value, and a bunch of other things, I'm going to suggest not much. It'll probably fluctuate like it has been in the market. I'll further suggest that I'm not so sure that we're going to make fall in terms of these elections and stuff. If there's any way possible, we're going to pull things off earlier than that. Okay?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to Barry Sotero being impeached. However, there is a lineup of characters behind him who promise to be just as tyrannical and unconstitutional as he is. What is the plan for dealing with them?
Well, that's pretty simple. You ask them if they want to want an adjoining cell in a FEMA camp, and, you know, it's sort of like a deal you can't refuse. You want to be in there with the warm bologna and cold coffee, that's fine with us. Which way you want to go? It's sort of like a deal that can't be refused in the Godfather. The guy put the gun to the guy's head and said, and the Godfather told him, very simple, either your signature or your brains are going to be on that contract here in a few minutes. Which is it? Well, I'll tell you right now, the oligarchs, special cases and all that, do not want to be put away anywhere. They'll do anything not to do that. They may have to have somebody with them. So be it. Some of this is new ground. Now, if the upper levels of the administration that you're familiar with are taken out, you got to replace some of them with some people. This is a skeletal structure to keep the thing functional, all right? Now, the commander-in-chief is going to be busy undoing the mess. The second, his second, known as the vice president, is going to be busy undoing other portions of the mess. People that will be willing to help are going to be given some latitude. And that's just, you know, it's real simple. You help us, and we'll let you live in a guarded apartment instead of FEMA camp. Think about sitting in a small room staring at the wall. I mean, that's got to be real entertaining. Think about the option of, you know, well, if you help us undo it, then we won't put you in there right away. I don't mean you ain't going. That don't mean they're not going to be adjudicated. That does not mean there are not going to be a load of executions. You know, how many people did you kill today? That sort of question, you know, and we got the evidence to show that you did X. Sorry about your stuff, dude. You're about to meet Mr. Electric Chair. Or would you like the firing squad or the noose? Which one, you know, you can pick which way to go. We'll give you that much. This is not going to be pretty. It's not going to be nice. There's going to be some gunfights. There are a lot of exit wounds that these people are going to try to inflict on everything and everybody. When they start being taken down, it's going to hit the fan a little bit. If we can get enough of the right ones out of the way, it'll be minimal. And this is what I'm hoping for. Next.
Well, I think you may have already covered some of this, but if you want to add to it, what do you think of the headline, Putin introduces criminal responsibility for concealing second citizenship? I've put my teeth back in.
Well, I think that my personal take on that is, like I said, they need to decide which one do you want. Can you have both? Okay, then the other step in this, anybody that tries to conceal it is doing so for a reason, and I think that ought to be criminal. I think it ought to be automatic deportation to wherever that secondary citizenship goes. You can only have one citizenship, period. You may not have three or four passports and all this. Just that simple. I mean, this is all of these things that are of concern, and they are, to me, a real concern because I know about them. I know that they're real. A lot of people out there don't care one way or the other because they don't think this is real. They still got their bubble gum. They still got their their phone. You know, the toilet flushes, and they can go have a good time someplace, and that's all they care about. The idea of the American dream being gone or out of reach of everybody has been being stipulated on several news channels, and they're right. Then again, too, people want to move around now. They don't want to be stuck in one place for 20, 30, 40 years. So home ownership is going in the toilet. Home ownership is going to eventually become a rarity. I mean, what would you do? I mean, a lot of people like to go out and explore, drive up and down roads and see where it goes and all that. What would you do if you had a spaceship and you could just blast off and go visit the moon? Would you be here very much? I don't think so. There's too many people too curious. Wow, man, what's on the other side of that crater there? You'd be busy the rest of your life just exploring locally. So, you know, people want to be mobile for several reasons. The next job, you may be going from Kentucky to California and then back to Texas and then up to Wisconsin and then find out you got to be in Georgia. I mean, you know, it takes time to sell real estate unless you want to take a real beating on it. Why make the investment? And that's what why bother? We'll rent. Well, people are still building houses, but these are rental homes. In other words, you'd be there for however and go from there. Next.
Do you think this is mainly to do with the Israeli being the dual second citizenship in the main?
No. 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 There's too many dual citizenships all over the place, everywhere. There's way too many of them. That's one, but that's only one of several. Okay?
Yeah. Right. Now that the ECB has lowered its interest rates into the negative, what will be the reactions of the markets in both the U.S. and Australia?
Well, do you remember what happened in Cyprus? Do you remember the Cyprus effect where everybody just took a haircut? That's what a negative interest rate is. We're going to sneak up and take your money, however much of it we need. The central banking system profits, period. You don't like that, get out of the way or we'll shoot you. You'll have an accident, or we will ruin you. All of a sudden your computer fills up with child pornography or whatever they can think of to cause you to be out of the way. In the case of the veterans, they forget it. Your expended ammunition, move. Don't clog up my sidewalk. Go put your tent up somewhere else. You can't put it here, that stuff. Same way with old people. Well, you got to understand that this fits everybody. Nobody of lesser means than the top level of oligarchs has a ticket to ride, meaning you ain't going to go no place. So, they're going to, and everything that they've done over there, they've tried to bring over here. They tried to bring the Cyprus effect here. They've tried to bring different governmental reforms and whatnot that only suit people that would be stupid enough to put up with it. They tried to bring it here. Where do you think gun control comes from? Hello, Great Britain. I mean, not to negate the country or its people, but their government sucks a big one in a whole bunch of different ways. Just like ours does. There's levels of sneakiness where you don't see it coming. That's a little dark spot under the bed that a monster lives in when you're a little kid, but after you become an adult, you say, nah, monsters don't exist. Whoops. Wait till it bites you on the ass through the mattress, and then you get the idea. Next.
We have heard time and time again that the collapse of the Federal Reserve note is almost inevitable, and that all paper money will be worth nothing. So if this is true, how is it that the powers that be will continue to remain rich and powerful? Who or what keeps the dollar alive and functioning?
Well, it depends on what you put a value on. Let's put it that way. If you got a bunch of people renting from you, and all of a sudden money ain't valuable, what do you want from them? Well, you're going to have to get me some groceries or some water or some gas. Think about it. The barter system, what happens when money don't work? The barter system raises its ugly head. The cash economy in the United States is huge. And I do mean huge. I've been involved in it. I can tell you right now, it's humongous. Gold and silver will retain value, specifically coinage that is recognizable. It's got to be a certain percentage, but still, you can expect those commodities to explode along with the price of some other things. We're getting ready to face a food shortage coming this fall and winter. I want everybody to be aware of that. I want you to think about that real careful. Why do I say this? Well, have you noticed the droughts? Have you noticed the serious problems out west? And do you know you're talking 90 days or better to grow some kind of something to eat? And all the cattle's been sold off? Why do you think the beef price is rock solid like concrete and won't go back down? I mean, this is not difficult to get your head around. The ruination of everybody has been in the planning for several hundred years by people that knew what was going on. Rothschild, you name it. Think of somebody. The Pope. I mean, he's supposed to be clean. You ought to see some of the things he's done financially and morally to people. I mean, we had crusades against the Muslims. That was back when it was fairly peaceful. I think we aggravated it to a point where they've decided to hell with it. And this is the problem that everybody has to face. Are you willing to put up with the attitude that they're putting out that you don't mean nothing? You're expended ammunition. I mean, you know, if you're live ammunition, they might consider you to having some value. But you're useless eaters, okay? You're terrorists. I mean, this has all come out through different blogs and websites and whatnot, how they look at us. So, you know, you got to get your mind right on this. So this is, I'm not playing with this. I'm trying to be as real as I know how to be. And to be quite honest, the reality is going to be a real mother.
Yep.
Next. Oh, we're at the top of the hour.
We sure are. We'll play a couple of songs, and we should have Ben on with us after that. We'll be back shortly.
no sex, no drugs, no wine, no women, no fun, no sin, no you, no wonder it's dark. Everyone around me is a total stranger. Everyone avoids me like a cyclone ranger.
Welcome back to the second hour, and we will have Mr. Benjamin Fulford on shortly. And Drake, are you ready?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm just going to add Ben to the show now, and we'll be a minute.
All right.
Hi, Ben.
Hello?
Hello, Ben.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Ben. How's it going?
Good. Fine.
How's things?
Fine.
Well, we're so pleased. A lot of our members have been followers of yours for a long time, myself included. And so we're looking forward to hearing you the next hour. So it should be good.
Okay. Well, go ahead and give me your questions or
yeah. Right. First question. Well, this is for you personally. What made you want to leave Canada and move to Japan? Not many people have made that journey and made it as successful personally as you have.
There's a lot of elements to that, but members of my family have been going to Asia since the time of my great-grandfather. My great-grandfather had a medicine factory in Shanghai. My grandfather was the head of the Asia-Pacific Relations Committee in the Canadian Parliament. He was a member of Parliament. And my father visited here as a diplomat. Originally, I came to Japan because I wanted to go to university outside of the West so that I could learn a different perspective. And I was going to go to either China or India or Japan. And after some research, I realized that Japan was the most practical choice at the time. And I really liked it here. Now, the other thing is, I was brought up in Cuba and Mexico until I was 8. And for that reason, I could never quite get used to the Canadian winter. So I love the summer in Canada. I go back, I go camping, I go portaging, canoeing, fishing, but I just couldn't quite, get into the winter.
No, it's tough. Right. Ben, do you think we are making headway with regards to removing the cabal?
Well, yes and no. I mean, we've seen that the Queen of Holland has quit. The previous Pope has quit. Any look at his face, you could see that man had some serious, issues.
Yeah.
And the King of Belgium, quit. And now the King of Spain has quit. They're all members of the Saxe-Gotha family that's closely associated with the Rothschilds and with World War I and World War II. So clearly something is giving way, especially in Europe. However, in the United States, we still have Bush running around free. We still have in the UK Tony Blair acting like he's going to be the next president of the UK. So it's clearly the process is not over yet.
But we're making good headway.
Oh, yeah, it's obvious. And the other thing, of course, is that from an Asian point of view, you know, a few years ago they said it would take China 50 years to overtake the U.S., and now they're saying it's already happened. So, you know, from the Asian perspective, things have already begun, you know, big time.
Right. Next question for you. Do you think, from your perspective, that the BRICS Alliance Bank that's going live in July is going to be a game changer?
Well, what I've seen so far is not a game changer. They're talking, you know, $100 billion, which is big, but...
not big enough.
Not big enough to really change the world. It's sort of like they're still operating within the old paradigm. So I think, you know, something very different still has to be set up.
Yeah.
And it hopefully wouldn't be a BRICS thing, but it would be something that, you know, the West was involved in too.
Yeah. You know, that's the kind of danger. All these deals are going on with the oil and... the gas, natural gas, et cetera, are all between the East. And the danger is when we get a reset that the West will have nothing left as such, you know. But then...
Well, there are several problems. I mean, first of all, the West still has the world's best science and technology and, you know, most educated workforce. So the problem, the weakness has been the financial parasitism that's been leeching the strength out of the West. But what's the problem is this, is that if you look at the IMF, the way it's currently structured, it's Belgium, you know, with what, 8 million people, whatever, pardon me if I don't get the number exactly right, has more voting power than China.
Yeah.
Now, clearly, this is not a global institution. It's a Western oligarch institution, and they're refusing to reform it. Even the reform plan they have on the table would leave the West still in control. The World Bank is the same thing. It's always been controlled by Americans, and so is the United States, really. You know, I mean, the Chinese have an honorary seat with a veto, but basically it's been a Western institution. And what they're saying in the East is let's set up entirely new structures that are 50-50 controlled, East and West, not dominated by the West.
Yeah.
And unless the oligarchs and the leaders in the West agree to this, what will happen is they'll just go ahead and build their own structures, and the West will wither at the vine. You know, the BRICS now control 90% of the world's population and 68% of the economy. So the G7 are becoming more and more irrelevant, and they need to, you know, change with the times.
And quickly.
Yeah.
Good luck on that.
why do you...
Yeah, go on.
No, carry on, Ben.
Right now, the key issue is the United States. And I've said this often, and I keep repeating it, but the United States needs to start issuing its own currency. The United States dollar is not and never was an American currency. It's controlled by this family group of Zionist bankers, and it's privately owned. It's not run by the United States government. And that's why it was possible to take all of U.S. industry and move it to China. The United States needs to issue their own currency. If they do that, a government currency, not a private debt instrument like we have now, they would be able to rebuild all the U.S. infrastructure, you know, finance space exploration, pay for university education, pay for welfare, all without taxes or debt.
Yes.
And they could, and externally what will happen is it will be worth less than the U.S. dollar, so suddenly... people won't be able to buy Chinese trinkets in Walmart for next to nothing, and instead they'll buy made-in-American stuff, and American exports will rebound, and a zillion tourists will come to enjoy cheap American prices. This is what, you know, would have happened if they had treated the U.S. bankruptcy like they'd treated the bankruptcies of other countries in the past, like Russia. But somehow they don't want to take this medicine. And that's the problem. The problem is still in the United States. That's what the obstacle is now.
Yes. And why do you think at this stage that the U.S. military has not stepped in and removed the rogue elements, Ben?
The United States military is, well, they've done a couple things. One is they've said, all right, we're not going to be manipulated into wars for these people anymore, okay? They were not, they did not let themselves be manipulated into a war against Syria. They did not really participate in the attack against Libya, and they're certainly not going to go into the Ukraine either. So they've gone halfway. They're not obeying the Zionists anymore, for sure. The problem is that they still need to have their monthly paychecks in order to keep living, and that depends on the international financial system. And they're, you know, I think waiting for the new architecture to be put in place. And what they're saying is, you know, we're not going to be like the Russians, what happened with the Soviet Union, where a general ended up, you know, becoming a taxi driver in London. So I think they're pushing for this, and they're using Obama as kind of a spokesperson, is what I've heard from my own direct sources. However, I do think that they're not doing enough and that they really should actually march into Washington, D.C., and remove the entire corrupt structure there. And they should also move into Wall Street and do the same. So far, they haven't had the guts to do that, and I think the reason is because a lot of the senior generals have been bribed.
Right.
And brainwashed.
Oh, yeah. What do you think the implications for the cabal will be with the no-fly zone that Neil Keenan's introduced?
Well, it depends if it's enforced or not, and that's the key. You know, I mean, he came up with a list of names of people, a lot of whom I've not heard of, and I'd like to know more about, you know, how this was compiled and why these people are on that list, you know, because that would make it more convincing. You know, it might work, but I think that the real problem is at the very tip-top of the structure, and there we still have some kind of disagreement, and most of the people, even on that list, are just people used to following orders. It's been a very, very highly centralized system. I think, you know, secretly, the financial system was run like an Egyptian theocracy where the pharaoh is like God. And in this case, the person just didn't make their name public. But I believe it was David Rockefeller until a few years ago. And now there's kind of a vacuum, and they can't decide what to do. And so there's chaos at the top.
Yes, it certainly is. Do you think North and South Korea will reunify, and will this have major implications for the cabal?
Well, Japan, with U.S. backing, is now trying to normalize relations with North Korea. And I think the idea is to unify North, South Korea, and Japan in order to have a kind of Northeast Asian counterbalance to China. And there's a historical basis for this in that China's always been a combination of Chinese-speaking farmers and sort of Mongolian language-speaking nomads. And the Korean, Japanese, Mongolian languages, these peoples are all part of the sort of nomadic tradition. So there is a long historical background to this. So I think that the strategy is to take these historical lines and for the United States to work with traditional Mongol-type peoples, including the Koreans and the Japanese. It's also interesting that they've been putting a lot of Korean TV dramas on Japanese TV and doing other things to kind of promote grassroots friendship between the Koreans and the Japanese. And it's part of a long-term propaganda campaign to get them to start liking each other instead of hating each other, you know?
Well, that'll be better for the start. Right. Something in your neck of the woods. What is currently taking place in Thailand?
Okay. My understanding is that the Red Shirts were run by the local CIA station chief, and they exploited a gap between the rural people and the traditional elite in Bangkok. But the goal was to get their hands on the Thai royal family gold stash, which is apparently quite big, and also the Persian gold, which was evacuated to Thailand after the fall of the Shah of Iran. And what's happened is the royalists have come in and basically put the kibosh on that. I suspect the CIA station chief in Bangkok has had to leave the country. The Red Shirts were orchestrated by the Zionists, is my understanding. But they did exploit genuine malcontent in the countryside to their benefit.
Good. What headway have we made in removing the cabal at banking elements in Japan?
In Japan, it just hasn't happened. I mean, Abenomics is just taking money from the Japanese people and giving it to support the cabal. What they've done, for example, almost all the listed stock exchange listed companies in Japan are owned by the cabal through trust funds. And they've been lowering the corporate tax rate in order to funnel more Japanese to the cabalists, while raising consumption tax and other taxes also to funnel money to the cabalists. So right now, Japan is like one of their last cash cows. It's a sad situation, but that's how it is.
In your blogs, you mention the P2 Lodge. Who and what is the P2 Lodge?
Okay, when the Asian Secret Society first came to me, the people who immediately afterwards flew out to see me said that they represented the P2 Lodge, and they told me, this is through this guy Leo Zagami, that they were descendants of the Caesars and that they'd always controlled the Vatican and the Mafia. They would put on black masks and cover their faces and give them orders. And I've also found out through, senior CIA people like Dick Cheney that the Vatican Bank was where they had the bribery accounts for world leaders. So and it was also the members of the Rothschild family who said that the real leadership of the secret government in the West was Italian. And as far as I can tell, and just using, their secret history is full of a bunch of mystical stuff that, like Atlantis aliens, but we'll leave that aside. And just based on the historical record, it seems to go back to the mathematician Fibonacci, who in the Middle Ages went to Arabia and learned Arab math and Arab numbers, which is much, much better for calculating money than the traditional Roman letters. And the Italian moneylenders, like the Del Banco family, they worked from a bench, and that was a banco, a bench, and that was where the word bank originated from, used this mathematics to lend money, and they were able to become extraordinarily wealthy, and they financed the colonization of much of the world. They started with the Dutch West, I guess it was the Portuguese first, and then the Dutch went, and then the English went. East Indies. It was all financed by these Italian moneylenders. Right. And that is a system that grew up into the current bank, world central bank system. So the Rothschilds say they were middlemen. They take a 2% cut, but above them were these people in Italy. So I went to Italy to meet with them, and the person, they said the most senior person that I was introduced to was this guy called Vincenzo Mazzara, who claimed to be a cavalier of the Teutonic Knights, who tried to poison me. But I still keep in touch with him. And I've also, you know, talked to other types, and they told me they're going to change the Pope, and they did. So clearly, these people have enormous power in the West. And
carry on, Ben. Sorry.
They did say they worship a black sun, which is what, you know, the Nazis did, too. And clearly, this New World Order was a plan to create a fascist world government.
So the majority of the P2 Lodge is not on humanity's side, then? It's just certain element.
I think, you know, they don't think that they're evil. I mean, they're thinking that, you know, ab caos ordo, they wanted to create order out of chaos. They want to take people who just sit around and drink beer all day and fornicate and turn them into productive workers in a hierarchical society, right?
Yeah.
And their ultimate aim was a world government, you know, centralized, controlled world government. That's their big project they've been working on for 2,000 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, they don't think they're evil, but, you know, a lot of us would not agree with a highly centralized dictatorial system controlled by a secret family group, you know, including myself.
Right. Next question for you. How long before financial tyranny did you know David Wilcock?
Well, you know, the documents that he put out were things that were sent to me too, right?
Yeah.
And I was glad to have David Wilcock put that stuff out there, because first of all, he had a big audience, and second of all, it's good to have allies. You know, you want to have other people exposing this. You want it to seem as like a one-man show, you know. And the source for these documents, I think, really goes back to British intelligence, who were and elements, you know, sympathetic to the British within the United States structure. And I guess the real credit goes to Dr. Michael van der Meer, who is also known as Dr. Michael Mehring, who's a kind of a James Bond type who had both his legs blown off by a bomb that he says was set by George Bush Sr. So the real source of that information was Dr. van der Meer, and he's now dead, unfortunately, but that's where the ultimate credit for all that information goes. He was the guy who's been, you know, kept the torch burning and figured out all the stuff that went on behind the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah.
And David Wilcock has done a very good job of making that known to the public.
Okay. Did you personally think the financial tyranny piece would have the impact it did?
Well, yeah. I mean, the fact that, you see, they need to be secret, because if it wasn't secret, everyone would be really angry at them and would start doing something about it. And so making it public is the best thing you can do to deal with these people.
Yes, I agree. In your interviews with Diakaku and Romanov, you show strong support for Putin. How do you and them view Putin's performance since 2012 interview?
Well, first of all, let me just quickly get back to Putin's performance before that, because, you know, after the fall of the Soviet Union, Russia was raped and pillaged, you know, and all their wealth was taken out of the country. And according to my sources in the Japanese underground, who had big operations in Russia, Putin and his people killed about 200 different people before they were able to take over. And what they did was they kicked out all these oligarchs who were working for the Zionists. And as a result, Russian standards of living doubled overnight. And, you know, the other thing I can say about Putin is that if you go after 2012, according to British intelligence, the George Bush plan was to start a new Cold War in the Ukraine, right?
Yes.
Use that that Ukrainian Cold War as a way, as an excuse to increase arms budgets, military budgets in the West, including Russia, Europe, and the United States. And then Russia was supposed to be China's friend, right?
Yeah.
But then in the end, Russia, Japan, Western Europe, they'd all get together and attack China and divide China into six countries. Now, Putin, to his credit, is not going along with this plan, which would have led to, you know, vast human suffering and mass murder, you know, and invading China would have been, according to the Pentagon, ended up killing 90% of humanity. It was an insane plan, and I'm glad that he's not going along with it.
Yeah.
However, Putin needs to understand that he is a central figure in Eurasia, but, you know, we still need to have to include the United States and Western Europe and China in some kind of new system. And, you know, I agree with him that we need a multipolar world, but at the same time, we all share the same atmosphere, the same oceans, and we need a minimal set of rules we all follow so we don't keep destroying this planet the way we have been.
Yes. Oh, yeah. There's been far too many wars initiated by bankers and secret societies and bloodlines and families and whatnot.
Look, and you think of Putin's, what the people in Eastern Europe are saying is very, very correct, in that after World War II, the United Nations was set up with the idea that countries would never be allowed to invade other countries again, right?
Mm.
And then after the Cold War, what did the West do? What did the United States do? They went out and they destroyed Yugoslavia. They paid mercenaries to act like they were Syrians and kill Bosnians, and they paid mercenaries to act like they're Bosnians and kill, Serbians.
Serbians, yeah.
Until they actually got the Serbians and Bosnians killing each other. You know, it's like scratching an old scab.
Yeah.
And they bombed the place, and then they ended up stealing all the mineral resources in Armenia. And Russia and their allies correctly say, hey, you've broken all the rules we're supposed to have after World War II. And now they're trying to do the same thing in the Ukraine. I mean, the people who were in Maidan Square, they now know, were shooting people on both sides to try to get them to start fighting each other, you know?
Yeah.
Like you kill your neighbor's cat, and then you kill your another neighbor's dog, and then you tell them that they did it to each other and get them to start fighting.
Yes.
And it's mercenaries, Greystone mercenaries, which used to be Academia, which used to be XE, which used to be Blackwater. They keep changing their name, but it's the same mercenaries working for the central bankers.
Putin's in a difficult position now in Ukraine, is he not? You know, because if he gets involved too much, you know, it could escalate.
He's playing their game. They're saying that they're not involved in the Ukraine, that the Ukraine is an independent government, while they send in tons of mercenaries and CIA officials. So Putin says, oh, we're not involved in eastern Ukraine, and it's a purely Ukrainian thing, while he sends in lots of, you know, Spetsnaz and other forces. So in other words, they're both pretending that they're not involved, because if Russia officially says, yeah, we sent in our troops, then they say, oh, Russia's such a bad country, they invaded Ukraine, you know, and he doesn't want to let them get away with their hypocrisy. They send in mercenaries and CIA and pretend that it's Ukrainian. So he's playing their game. And my understanding from the news reports is that the Greystone and those people are not doing very well militarily there.
Good.
That's because, you know, the mercenaries aren't fighting for their homes. They may be skilled warriors, but, you know, they don't want to risk their lives for some, they just want to get their salary and not get shot, you know?
Yeah. Do we know what is their numbers, these mercenaries? Is it in the hundreds or thousands? Does anyone actually know?
It's definitely in the thousands.
Nice.
And you know, I don't know the numbers. I mean, they don't publicize it, but there's there's a company in the UK that supplies mercenaries that has 600,000 employees, okay? What you need to understand, and the same with the situation in Syria, is that the people who can afford to hire giant non-state armies are the big oil companies. And, you know, you can look at it. If you look at the situation in Syria and Ukraine from an oil company perspective, then in Syria, it's Chevron versus Gazprom, you know, and BP, I guess. And then in Syria, again, it's Gazprom versus – it's like oil companies fighting proxy wars. And because there's so much money that can be made from a pipeline, they're willing to spend hundreds of millions of dollars on mercenaries to secure the route for the pipeline. So they're non-government actors. And I think the way to put an end to this would be to raid the headquarters of ExxonMobil and Chevron and these places and arrest all the executives. That would be a lot easier than fighting their mercenaries on the ground in Syria.
Yeah, okay. I agree. You mentioned in a recent blog impeachment proceedings have begun for Obama. Do you think that will come soon?
I don't know. I looked at, you know, videos of Obama at the G7, okay?
Yeah.
And he did not look like a man who's under a lot of stress, all right?
Yeah.
But I could be wrong. I don't know. I don't know enough. I mean, I've been told this by people like Neil Keenan and stuff, that it's happening. And certainly there have been calls for it in the Washington Post, and Republicans have made statements like this.
Yeah.
And I guess the Supreme Court now has seen the light, or somebody has gotten to the Supreme Court. But at the same time, the Pentagon, they're saying, well, Obama's just our spokesperson anyway, you know. Technically, he was elected as president, and so we'll keep using him as a spokesperson for now. So I don't know. Okay, that's the bottom line. But I think that the situation, it's not so much a matter of whether or not Obama is impeached as what happens to the Federal Reserve Board and what happens to the system of creating euros and dollars. Who gets to take that? Who gets control of that? And what the BRICS are doing now is they're setting up a parallel computer system. And you understand that this is, when you talk about cyber warfare, it's really the financial warfare plus information warfare, because 95% of the money exists on computers. And right now, if you want to send money from one country to another, you use something called a SWIFT network, which has been totally hacked by the NSA, and they can just, if they don't want Brazil to send money to Russia, they can jump in and grab it, you know? So what's happening is China's ripping out all their U.S.-made computers, and Brazil and China are making their own dedicated submarine cable line so that they can transfer money back and forth without using the SWIFT system. And that takes a bit of time, but at the end of the day, because they control 68% of the world's GDP and 90% of the people, and probably about 80% of the real money as opposed to fake bubble money, you know, money that's backed by solid things, then at a certain point they'll be able to say to everybody who has dollars, okay, you've got 6 months to trade your dollars for our new international dollars, and after that we will no longer accept Federal Reserve Board dollars. And they can do it. They could pull it off, and that would be it. The feds would be out in the street panhandling like the rest of us. Or like a lot of us.
Is it true, Ben? Sorry, go on, Drake.
There already is an alternative. It's a little difficult to use, but it's up, and there is one up and running now that they can't get into and can't catch or find real easily. So, I look at that as being really interesting that they could get around it as quickly as they did.
Bitcoin?
No. This is a direct transfer, similar to the SWIFT system. Only it's part of the underground internet. But it's not exactly an internet, and they can't figure it out, and hopefully they won't. It's a kind of a Band-Aid until such time as they've got the new system pretty much prepared, as I get it, okay?
Well, that's good to hear, you know.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that the other aspect of this is that it's one thing to say that, you know, money should be backed by gold and by real assets, right? But there's another aspect to the financial system, which is planning what you do in the future. You know, so the example is I go and I to my refrigerator and I take some of today's food, I make some sandwiches, I get my fishing rod, which I paid for with money I earned in the past, and I go fishing, right?
Yeah.
The decision to go fishing is something based on the future. I'm expecting to catch fish.
Yeah.
So I take what I have now, physical stuff, and I imagine something that will exist in the future and work towards it, right?
Yeah.
If I catch fish, great. If I don't, I go to bed hungry. In the same way, we take the resources we have now and we want to build something new for the future. And that process of planning for the future right now is under the control of a few oligarchs and some very inadequate non-representative international institutions. So, you know, when I first came to Japan, I came here because they had the highest standard of living in the world, they had the fastest economic growth, they were in harmony with nature, and they had the least difference between the rich and the poor in any country in the world. And so I came to study this economic system they had, which is, by the way, the one the Chinese are basically copying, and that's why they're doing so well.
Good.
And they had a meritocratically staffed economic planning agency. It wasn't very big, but they would make they would gather information from politicians and bureaucrats and companies. And the politicians in those days actually listened to their constituents, right?
Mm.
So they were getting it from the people. And they figure out what sort of country do you want 5 years from now. And then they would create money out of nothing, if you will, to pay for this, to build bridges and sewers and schools and airports. And so what we do need is we need to have a combination of a sort of central planning and the market. You can't have one or the other. Central planning alone resulted in communism, which we all know, you know, it failed for various reasons we all know about. No incentives to work, stuff like that. On the other hand, pure capitalism has created this situation where the greediest, most ruthless takes everything from everybody else and everybody ends up poor except for a few zillionaires. So we need a balance between the two.
Yeah.
And that's why I keep proposing setting up a big, you know, meritocratically staffed future planning agency to do big things, bigger than any government alone can do, like turn the deserts green, build artificial planets, replenish the oceans with fish. And this could exist in addition to all the existing structures. It wouldn't take away from anybody. It's just a way of planning what kind of world we want in the future and making it happen. And it could be done with full, real-time, live participation on the Internet of everybody. It could be done in ways that haven't been done before. So what I'm saying is don't break anything old. Just build something new or many different new things and let them compete with each other. But it's not enough just to completely link the financial system to existing assets. You have to then figure out what do we do in the future? How do we decide that? And if you link it to existing assets, okay, what happens is that if you use a gold-based system, then, well, the Asians, the Chinese have more than 85% of the world, so they dominate it. They suddenly have all the decision-making power, and it's up to them, and we have to listen to them, right?
Yes.
But if you use other things like real estate in the U.S., U.S. patents, American technology, American food products and stuff to back this currency, then it wouldn't be just a Chinese show, you know? It would be a combination of the two.
Yes.
Which is, I keep saying, we want a 50-50 compromise between East and West and figuring out a new way to decide what sort of future we want to build for this planet.
Yep. I think you've given the figures before. What would it cost per year to take the world out of poverty?
I didn't do the math myself, but, you know, way back in the 1990s when I was working as a financial journalist, right?
Yeah.
United Nations came out with this thing called the Millennium Report, where they're saying that, you know, we could end poverty and stop environmental destruction by the year 2000, which is already 14 years ago, and it would only require $200 billion a year to end poverty and $400 billion to end environmental destruction, right? And at the time, I remember thinking, well, geez, Japan's, they've got $5 trillion sitting in the bank they've earned from exporting all these cars and stuff. Why don't I convince the Japanese to finance this? And, you know, they could have done it and have a whole bunch of spare change to, you know, explore the universe and stuff. And then what I found out was that the 90% of this money was going to this huge military-industrial killing machine that was, you know, actively working to start World War III. So that's how I got involved. I said, what do you mean? That's a crazy thing to do, to spend, you know, to devote human future resources to a war that's going to kill everybody.
Yeah.
That's nonsense. And the old non-aligned nations, you know, who weren't part of the Cold War, agreed that this was crazy. And then the former Soviet Union and those countries also agreed. And the result was that the Zionists who seized control illegally of the G7 countries were suddenly no longer in a position to carry out their World War III plan. And the financial information battle for deciding how it is, what sort of future we want to build for the planet has been going on since at least 2006.
Yeah.
And it's slowly, time is not on the side of the Zionists and the people who start want World War III. So they are losing. It's now they're, you know, the balance has definitely gone away from them. So, but the problem is, okay, so we're not going to have World War III, but they still haven't agreed, you know, what comes next.
Yeah.
And the, okay, the New World Order plan for a world fascist government has gone, has not succeeded. That's great. But what about the Old World Order? Is it so great? I would say no. In the 20th century alone, humanity wiped out 30% of all species on the planet. Things were around for billions of years are gone forever now. It left a billion people hungry, and somehow, you know, space exploration stopped, and you know, all sorts of technologies suppressed. And not only that, I mean, look at the UN. It's the World Bank, the IMF, all these institutions are not democratic, and they're secretly controlled by this Zionist group of families who, you know, work through the P2 Lodge.
Yeah.
It's not a world institution, okay? It's a cabal institution. The UN, the IMF, the World Bank, they're not representative of humanity. They're representative of a secret clique of interbred banking families.
Oh, yes.
Ban Ki-moon was not elected. He wasn't chosen by the people of the planet. He was selected in a smoke-filled room. And they chose an Asian face to kind of placate the rising powers in Asia, but he doesn't work. The Asians don't trust him. They don't think of him as one of them. They think of him as working for a foreign agenda.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Recently you mentioned that Tony Blair and Bush were responsible for 9/11. Can you elaborate on that, please, Ben?
Well, what we know for sure about this is that you know, the evidence that 9/11 was planned by elements of the U.S. government is now overwhelming. I'm not going to go through that. People can do their own research, but it's, you know, it's scientifically, legally provable that this was done by a huge faction within the U.S. government. And in the case of Tony Blair, he was prime minister at the time they killed David Kelly and basically forged evidence to fool the British military into invading, and you know, Iraq.
Huh.
Same with the United States. They murdered 3,000 Americans in order to fool the U.S. military into agreeing to invade Iraq and steal the oil there. And there was at least 2 million Iraqis killed, according to some estimates. Certainly, that was a huge illegal war, and the people who were formerly in power. And the two main invading countries at the time were George Bush Jr. and Tony Blair.
Yes.
That's why I believe they are war criminals and they belong in jail, not parading in public like honored former statesmen.
Yes, I agree. They have a lot to answer for, those two people, in my opinion. Where are we next? Ben, you've mentioned in the past that the White Dragon Society has a million assassins. Why don't they start removing some of these Bilderbergers and others on site?
Well, first of all, a lot of people have been removed, but originally it wasn't the White Dragons, it was the Asian Society, the Red and Blue.
Yeah.
And I suggested that they go right ahead and just get them, right? So just grab them right now. Just don't waste any time.
Yeah.
And they told me at the time that they had the maximum technical capability to do 200 simultaneous assassinations, but that if they did that, it would probably have the opposite of effect of what they wanted. They would be labeled as terrorists, and there would be a huge propaganda campaign to make them seem evil, and that, you know, it wouldn't work. That was what they told me. And in retrospect, they were right, because you're dealing with a group of people who want an excuse to start World War III. And engaging with, and they're the world's greatest specialists in organized violence, right? They control the U.S. military industrial complex and the NATO. So you don't want to play in the area where they're strongest, which is physical violence. So they decided that, you know, it takes more time, but what we're going to do is we're going to hit them where they're weakest, which is finance, economics. We're going to cut off their money and let them wither at the vine. And it, you know, it takes time, and it's very frustrating, but you're dealing with a hostage situation. You're saying, we're going to set off nukes everywhere. So you've got to, you know, it's like a hostage. You wait till the guy's sleepy, you know, and runs out of food and gets tired, and then you move in. So that's why, you know, they didn't do that. Now, as far as the White Dragon Society is concerned, they asked me to find people in the West who had similar views, and it ended up that lots of different groups within the CIA, the MI6, the MI5, the Pentagon, you know, all the people who believed in democracy and human rights, rule of law, you know, there's a huge mass of them, and it's sort of an informal network of people who agreed that we need to change things fundamentally, how we operate the planet. This sort of spontaneously formed, and at this point, the world's martial arts societies, you know, judo, karate, aikido, all these people, they've trained more than 100 million people around the world, and they have a command structure that lies there dormant. But you can't activate that unless they actively start killing people. And just the fact that they exist and are ready to stop these people is enough to have prevented the, you know, genocide of 80% of humanity they are planning.
Yes.
And so they no longer have the ability to kill us all. And now, finally, the legal authorities are grinding. You know, the wheels of justice grind slowly, but they grind to dust. And you see more and more of these bankers being arrested. You see more and more generals being fired who are, you know, part of this plot. And we're talking about like a million-man crime gang, and it's not going to happen overnight, but it's definitely happening, you know. There's no denying it now.
Yeah. So in essence, it's like Sun Tzu, isn't it? The art of war without firing weapons. It takes more time, but
it can. You know, I mean, I did my bit. I went straight for the, you know, Eye of the Pyramid, which at the time was David Rockefeller, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, look, this is just a scary old man. He's not some, you know, god. I mean, you know. A lot of people thought I was somehow an insider because I don't have to do that. But, you know, I mean, as a foreign correspondent.
Yeah.
20 years experience in Japan, I know where these people stay and how to reach them. So, you know,
yeah,
I pointed out it's just a fragile old man. He's not some sort of god king, you know.
Yeah. Is there evidence that these like I said, the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and the Bushes are starting to turn on each other?
Yes, I mean, there is evidence. When you see United States newspapers and documentaries reporting about that the British royals were involved in killing Princess Diana, then clearly you have a split between the British faction and the American faction right there.
Yeah.
And then you have all the British newspapers suddenly reporting stuff that was taboo, like Edward Snowden. Then you can see, I mean, all this information that's coming out is a result of these people turning on each other. And it's great. It's just like at the time of the fall of the Soviet Union, all this rare information is suddenly becoming available. And we've got to record it all and make hard copies before it disappears into the memory hole again. But certainly they have been fighting each other.
Right. Do you think in the long term China is a threat to the world?
If you look at China's history, even when there was a time they could have just invaded the world and taken it over, they had the physical power. Yeah. They never did. I mean, the Chinese were only invasive when they were ruled by the Mongols. Yeah. Otherwise, I've looked at the history. They did go into Vietnam and destroy the forest there to finance their big shipbuilding campaign. But that's about it. I mean, you know, they could have, the Malaysian Prime Minister Mahathir, who was speaking at the Foreign Correspondents Club in Tokyo, said that, you know, the Chinese came in like around the year zero, around 200 AD or something. And they could have invaded Malaysia at that time. Instead, they just built an embassy and started trade, which is why they don't consider the Chinese to be a threat.
Yeah.
You know? And so I'd say by history, no. And the other thing is that the Chinese are very practical people, and there's nothing to be gained by physically invading people. All they're going to do is suffer massive death, right?
Yeah.
So... it's much better to trade and intermarry than to fight. That's how they look at the world. And you got to understand, when I was a kid, I used to think that we're going to have World War III against China. And so I came out here to Asia originally to figure out how we're going to have to fight China, you know. And after, you know, 30 years living here, I've completely changed how I look at the place. And instead of seeing them as an enemy, I think of it as somebody to intermarry and be friendly with. And that's based on, you know, 30 years experience as on the front line reporter, you know, talking to people and who actually run the place.
Yeah, well, I think part of the problem for people in the West is we don't really know enough about China. They're not sort of part of the international news unless some tragedy happens. So I think there's a lot of ignorance on the Western part of what Chinese life is like, what the political system is like. You know, only hear propaganda.
Yes, well, one of the things I told the Chinese, and so did someone at the CIA, was that they were really bad at public relations. And one thing the Chinese have been doing secretly is they poured a lot of money into Hollywood, okay? So what happens is now in Hollywood movies, you'll see a strong Asian character as one of the people in the movie, or you'll have it set in China. And this is part of a long-term campaign to get people to understand what China is, you know. And they've also hired the two biggest public relations firms to make sure that Western media in China don't distort what's happening. And the other thing they did is they set up these Confucian institutes all over the world to allow people to study the Chinese language and Chinese culture. You know, the way I look at it, just from a Hollywood point of view, that the West has kind of used up all their stories. Like, you know, we've got Godzilla 3 now, and they've done every major historical thing, you know, like, whereas there's a whole bunch of really interesting stuff that happened in China that hasn't been made into a Hollywood movie yet, which is just from a pure entertainment point of view, great. Same with India, you know, so there's a lot of material there, and as a Westerner, what you do is you hear these incredible stories for the first time, like the equivalent of, you know, Julius Caesar and Cleopatra. This kind of story that we've never heard would suddenly become something we hear about, and it would just be interesting. It would expand your horizons without taking away anything from Western tradition or knowledge, you know.
Yeah, all to do with the dragons, but the different ones going back in time.
Yeah, I mean, just the secret societies alone, I mean, you know, the amount of peasant revolts they've started, and some succeed, many fail, but there's all sorts of stuff that's happened. In other words, it's like you have a Chinese restaurant in your neighborhood now, and you've got something other than fish and chips to eat if you want it. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be something where suddenly you're forced to eat at the Chinese restaurant every day.
No. No, I agree. Is Thaksin Shinawatra working for the cabal?
That's what my MI6 people told me. The Dr. Vandermeer, he said that he was a cabal agent.
Right, okay. Are you aware of Kevin Annett's work with the ITCCS in exposing crimes committed by church and state? And it's,
yes.
Yep.
I've looked into that a lot, and he talks a lot about crimes in Canada, and I've spent a lot of time with First Nations people in Canada, for example, the Canadian British fought together with the Algonquin tribe against the Mohawks and the French, you know. So we've been cohabitating with these people for 400 years, you know.
Yes.
And it is true that for a long time there was a decision that we needed to assimilate them into Western culture, and they forced their kids away from their families and into these residential schools. And I believe a lot of human rights violations did take place there. But my concern about Kevin Annett is that he's charging the current Pope, who seems to be a good guy, and the Queen, but he's completely ignoring the enormous human rights violations in Iraq by Bush, for example, right? And he doesn't talk about the fact that in the United States, there's only a quarter of the First Nations people that existed before the first Europeans came, whereas in Canada, there are more of them now than there were when the first Europeans came. So I worry that although the man may be pure of heart, that he seems to be working for one faction against another. In other words, he's pointing out the crimes of the Queen and the Pope, but he's ignoring the crimes of the Rockefellers and the Bushes. So in any case, when I go back to Canada this summer, I will be talking directly to the heads of the Native nations to see if his charges are true or not. And there has been injustice against First Nations in Canada for sure, but it's not on the scale of, for example, what's happened in much more recent history in Iraq. Of this, I'm sure, too.
Yeah. Oh, yes. We keep hearing about a bond bubble that's about to burst. Is this about to happen, or do we have several months?
Well, it's not really a bond bubble per se, but what's been going on is the traditional U.S. financial system. They would use the stock market and they goose it up as a way to kind of improve morale and get money into the system, right? And what's happened now is that the Chinese and the Russians and stuff have stopped buying U.S. bonds, so they're printing money and buying their own bonds, but they don't have the physical reality to back those bonds. So what's happening is they're lying, okay? So the unemployment rate is actually 35%, not 6.7%, depending on how you count it, right? And inflation rate is way higher than they say, but they just keep changing the index so that it doesn't appear that way. So it's like they're pretending everything's all right when, in fact, it's a slow-motion train wreck. But, you know, and that's why people are finding out because they themselves are losing their jobs, you know, and so like any bubble, it's hard to say exactly when it will burst, but clearly they don't have the physical reality to back all this money talk they're making. By the way, I noticed that the European Central Bank just announced negative interest rates. Now, that has never happened before with a major central bank, but what it means is that if you put your money in the bank, it's going to start disappearing. And that is a sign that they're desperate, because what will happen is people will take their money out of the bank and keep cash, because cash won't have negative interest rates. And the other thing it shows is that this whole system of issuing a debt note is falling apart. What happens is, here's how it works right now. If they have a privately owned central bank, they create $100 out of nothing. They say, here's $100. This is a loan, and it's a 10% interest rate. So you have to give us back $110 next year, or else we're going to go into your house and we're going to take your stuff. Right? That's how it works, basically.
Oh.
And even if you have zero interest rate, they create $100 out of nothing, right? And say, okay, you just have to give us back $100, right?
Yes.
But if they don't give back the $100, they can still go into your house and take your stuff. With minus interest, they're saying, okay, we're going to give you $100, but you only have to give us back $99. Now, but they've created that out of nothing anyway.
Yes.
If they nationalize a central bank like Canada did between 1938 and 1973, they say, here's $100. End of story. Go have a beer, go party, whatever. It's your money. They don't want to do that because then they wouldn't control people through debt slavery. And that's the key to their power.
Well, yeah. It's very clever what they've done, these people, and how they've duped the people for so long. But thankfully, more and more people each day are waking up all around the world, and the sooner the better. we can get rid of these people and have a fairer system for all. I just really don't see the point of having X number of billion in a bank when there's people who haven't got any food.
The thing is that what they did with this economic and financial system is they turned it all into numbers, okay?
Yeah.
But really, it's not. It's people, it's factories, it's farms, it's the real world that counts. And they've got out of touch with that. I can write a picture of a hamburger on a piece of paper, but you still can't eat it,
Yeah.
And even if they tell me it's just as good as a hamburger, if I'm hungry, I'm going to say, it's just quite doesn't do it for me. And what's been happening now, as I said before, the Chinese have known this for a long time. They say, hey, we don't accept paper. You give us gold or we're not interested. And now they've run out of gold and China has all the gold. Well, the thing is, okay, if somebody says they come into my room and they've got a big thing of gold and say, I want you to get naked and stick a broom up your arse and I'll give you this gold, right? I'll say, I don't want your goddamn gold. Get out of here,
Yeah.
I'll do something myself, right? Just because they have the gold, it doesn't mean we're just going to suddenly be their slaves. I don't want to accept that either. But do have to come up with something constructive. We can't just get stuff from them and not pay them back forever. You have to start working again, making stuff again.
So you were mentioning before about something outside of central. Is basically what you're talking about is outside of countries where they can say, right, okay, here's the funds, and then we're going to go and take this country out of poverty, or we're going to go and clear this country or clear that oil field up, or...
If you take
it out of country controls, it's more of a world control system, if you like.
What I suggested, without taking, every country would still have their own independence and their own financial autonomy, but it's something that we all share, like some group to plan really big things that for the benefit of us all. So, for example, you could use energy technology to take salt out of the seawater and turn the Sahara into a green paradise, and suddenly a billion people could have a nice house with a swimming pool in the back, and you could create a few nature preserves on the side,
Yes.
That's the sort of thing that we could do if we decided to do so. And a lot of people who have nothing, no work, no unemployment, or no employment, would suddenly have jobs building roads and houses and swimming pools in this newly developed area.
Yeah.
Yeah, creating a process of deciding what sort of future we want on this planet and then making it happen in a realistic way.
Yeah.
And right now, the people who can afford to finance such a thing are the Asians. But what I'm trying to tell them is hire the Westerners to do it so we can all have something to do.
Yeah.
And that's the only, unless the Westerners decide to, you know, do it for themselves, which would mean overthrowing the oligarchs or forcing them to reform, you know, one or the other.
Yeah.
And ideally, we want a 50-50 blend of the two, some kind of harmonic east-west system to, you know, improve the planet.
Removing the oligarchs as oligarchs is the key to everything, though, Ben, isn't it? Because that they're not going to release the technology while they want to continue pumping us with oil.
Well, you know, what I've told the oil people is, like, the thing about free oil is that it produces energy plus carbon.
Mm.
And carbon is the basic building block of plants. So I say, why don't you create new ecosystems, you know? Build a series of green tropical zones in Antarctica or something, or, you know, create new plant life and botanical gardens in the Sahara. Do stuff like that. Create new ecosystems, you know. It's better, instead of, you know, destroying anything old, is just create something that's never existed before. That way you don't run into resistance from, you know, you don't have some oil guy willing to spend all his dollars on mercenaries to try to stop you, you know.
Yeah.
It's better to try to bring them on board than to pick a fight with them.
Yeah.
But if they do stand in your way, there comes a time where you may have no choice, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's like, you know, the militaries, particularly the U.S. military, you know, they can use them for infrastructure, the engineers.
Put
them to good use.
Protecting rhinos from poachers and doing stuff like that instead of, you know, shooting civilians in the Ukraine to try to start a civil war for oil companies. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you think it'd come a day further down the line where we will have, like, a world army rather than a country army?
I think there'll be there'll come a time when we all, as, you know, citizens of the world village will decide, okay, we've got some antisocial people here. Let's get together and remove them or put them in jail. And right now, within a country, you can't just murder people and get away with it. You go to jail. But internationally, you can still murder people and steal their stuff and get away with it. And that has to come to an end, okay? The United States leaders and the British leaders who were responsible for invading Iraq, killing their people and stealing their oil should have been put in jail. We need a world where that happens.
Yes. Drake?
All right, well, I think I've talked for about an hour and 5 minutes, so unless you have anything else, I'm going to go walk my dog.
Cool. Drake, do you want to chime in?
Yeah, I sure thank you, Ben, for being on the show. It's nice to hear you being real concise and all that. It really is.
It's good to have clear questions so that I can clarify, you know, make sure that there's no misunderstanding. All right, well, anyway, have a nice evening, you guys. I'll have a start my day here, too.
Yeah, so it's morning for you, is it not?
Yeah, it's 11 in the morning.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much, Ben. It's much appreciated. And hopefully maybe we can get you to come on another time.
Absolutely. All right.
Thanks.
Nice.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Ben.
Bye.
Bye now. That was...
You want to take a musical break?
Yes. I'll just sort that out now. I really enjoyed that. I thought that was really good. Right, where are we? Some music. Right, here we go. We'll be back soon.
Now that she's back in the atmosphere, the drops of Jupiter in her head. Like summer and walks like rain, reminds me that there's time to change. Hey, hey, hey. Since the return of a stay on the moon, she listens like spring and she talks like June. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey.
Hi all, and welcome to the final, well, it's near enough half an hour now, but I'm sure you all, well, I hope you all enjoyed that. It's in many respects, it's a kind of validation of what we do and what we've been saying. Most of the stuff was backed up what Drake stated. So I really enjoyed that, and I hope you all did too. Drake.
Yeah, I'm in here somewhere.
I thought that was a rather good interview.
A lot of people don't give Ben enough credit for what he does, and the changes he's made recently have made big improvements in the intel he's getting. Most of the stuff that I've been finding lately has been a lot more accurate than people think.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't know that Neil and Ben and I have been collaborating on some things. So it ain't just onesie-twosies like people think. It's there is a rather large and rather diverse, spread all over the planet, network of people that are actively involved. A lot of people don't get this. They kind of look at this and they go, eh, well, you know, maybe, and all that. But what they don't realize is that some of the things that have been posted by Ben came across my desk, and I couldn't think of a better person to allow it to start to come out. Now, in the past, there's been some problems. Those have been rectified, as far as I can tell, or as far as I'm concerned. Neil considers Ben a friend, and I consider him, at the very least, an associate. And from the improvements between what some of the stuff he came out with that was not quite correct and what he's doing now is extreme. It's like what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm
do
a,
not
you know,
think,
I'm a Ben fan.
Yeah. Do you not think sometimes, you know, it's like us with this show, you know, we've got 3 hours to fill each week, and it's a challenge to keep it interesting when certain things are not happening, and perhaps sometimes he throws stuff in that's of a diversionary nature, not necessarily true, but to throw the elites and the cabal off the scent as such.
Exactly. A lot of people don't get that part. We had Neil and I pulled some fun with the with some international agents that were just trying to get close to Neil, and they ended up 5 hours on an unheated train up into the mountains, and only to find out that the man had never booked lodging there at all and had gone the other way. You know, things of that nature, and I just love that stuff. That to me, that's icing on the cake, and, you know, I thoroughly enjoy sending people on wild goose chases when they don't have anything better to do anyway.
Didn't Neil do that with some of the on the plains as well? He sent someone to another continent.
Yeah. The thing is, until the manifest is filled on a flight or something, you don't know if that person showed up. And even then, you can do it under an assumed name with the contacts we have. So, you know, he went and, what do you mean he's on 5 different flights? That's not possible. Well, and there's only 4 guys? One of them is going to have to be fleet on their feet, go from one place to another checking. So, you know, and it's kind of fun. I mean, you know, like I say, you know, Keystone Cops and all that.
Yes. Right. Do you want some more questions, Ray?
Sure.
When will we start to see each of the cabal's checks and payments start to bounce once their overseas investments, stock investments, and bank accounts have been seized or frozen?
Well, you're already beginning to see the tip of the iceberg as it is.
Yeah.
Negative interest rates means the Cyprus effect is now spreading. Ooh, we got a cancerous disease. You know, squeeze that pimple and see what pops out. It probably will be a banker. Oh,
there we go. With the Bilderberg meeting in the news this week, and the military typically reluctant to out much of its own efforts as to not jeopardize them,
can you out any of theirs instead? So, ask them for Bilderberg info.
Oh, boy. The Bilderbergers are going nuts right now. That basically is your lower middle management. And they probably hate that. If they hear it, I'll probably get a phone call. What's interesting is to watch them squirm in the manner in which they are. They're trying to look for answers. And some of the notes that got leaked the last time were of a very un-Bilderberger-like positive note. We're going to do great things for humanity. Yeah, right. From what I can tell, there's also some splits, not only in the Bilderbergers, but between the Bilderbergers and others. And these splits are being caused by the financial problems that are now beginning to mount. You do not take from the people unless you're desperate. You don't, unless, you know, that's sort of a last resort. Used to be in the robber baron ages, take 20, 25 men that are armed, wipe out some farmer, throw the bodies out back, eat all their food, take anything of value, and go to the next one. This is basically what happened in Cyprus. Of course, it's all nice and legal and cute package, and everybody's grinning and stuff, except for the people that got their hair cut. I don't know of anybody, I don't care who it is, who can afford 40%. Just gone, poof. They're looking at doing the same sorts of things here in terms of limitation on the things that we've either paid for or earned. And I don't think they're afraid to do it at this point. Hopefully we'll get there before they do, and we won't have to worry with it. This is what we're striving to do. I mean, Neil doesn't travel all over the planet just for the fun of it, believe me. Jet lag is not cool.
No, it's not. He's like everybody else, he struggles with that. Is Nasara still on the table? And how can the people get Nasara announced properly?
That's a loaded question. Yeah, Nasara is still there. The reports that it is only a proposal are not exactly correct either. Reason being that the adjudications involved with it in terms of its presentation and the unsealing of those court records. Oh, and by the way, I found out there's a secondary copy unbeknownst to the Supreme Court. I'm not going to even hint as to where that might be, but it's in a safe place. And if they don't comply with the order of the people, then not only will they be removed from the bench, but all the records, both personal and court-related, will be outed, each and every last one of them. So they might want to think that one over for a little while, and maybe we'll get an announcement. Next.
A bit further on that, will Nasara bring any relief to apartment or home renters?
Yeah, if a debt is forgiven, in other words, the false mortgage debt ideology is what rents are predicated on, plus a certain amount of profit. Okay, think about what the profit might be. Instead of paying $600-$800 a month, you're going to drop to $100. Think about it. The only thing you're doing is going to do is profit the guy, and if he can make $1,500 a shot, he'd be happy. In today's market. So, and people are turning away from home ownership because of the obligation and being stuck in one place. I covered some of this earlier, but yeah. With that ideology going on, rental is going to become more of a commonplace thing. People move around too much right now. And the other part is that as things settle out, you'll find a 50-50 split. Some people are going to want to move around, and there's going to be others that want to pick a spot that they like and stay there. So you're going to have some rebound on both sides. But, yeah, There'll be relief. Next.
Do you think it's still possible you can buy good quality canned food anymore that's not GMO?
You can get it, but it's not easy to get. I can't name a factory right off the top that's doing the canning correctly to begin with. All of the tins, as they call them, are coated, and that coating is nasty. Let's see here. I'm trying to think. There is a very specialized coating that's used that's expensive. Whether or not that's being used commonly or not, I don't know. The best thing somebody can do is find an organic farmer in your area or an organic market, one of the two. Buy, say go in and buy 5-10 pounds of green beans or whatever it is you're after, and can it in glass. Put it in the old mason jar. A canning situation is not difficult. I've done it from memory from when I was a kid. So if I can do that much and get the right stuff and take care of things, you know, and it worked, everybody should be able to do it. You ain't got to be a rocket scientist. If you can boil water, you got it, basically. So that would be my suggestion as an alternative, okay?
Yes. How much more blatant does Barack Obama have to be before he's toppled off his high horse?
Well, I posted some things today about people calling for his impeachment because of his wanton violation, open and wanton violation of the law in a public manner. I have heard rumors from varying places that impeachment is imminent, that they're figuring out the fine points of it before they spring it. I understand there's a lot of people that haven't said anything that are going to go along with it. So it's going to be a large surprise for some people, as I get it, okay?
Can you give your interpretation of what's just happened with this trade for the soldier?
My interpretation? There's no interpretation to it. His teammates stipulate that he's a deserter. The other part is that in order to close Gitmo, you need to get rid of the bad guys, the bad guys. Then the rest of them don't matter, so to speak. That's one. Another one is that the VA problems all of a sudden got suppressed, and all of a sudden they changed it. Oh, we'll get a veteran back and look good, and it ain't looking good. Obama's taking a lot of heat. First of all, for violation of the law, that's tremendous. The second part is who he traded for. I mean, normally on a battlefield, you leave people like that out there to, you know, well, if that's what you want, go enjoy yourself. You deal with it, you know. Some people would just simply execute the guy on the spot. Desertion on the battlefield is punishable by immediate execution. And a lot of people don't understand that. I mean, the officer pulls out his .45 and blows his brains out, and that's the end of it. And he don't take the body with you. You leave it there. Let the buzzards have it, kind of thing. What I heard today really kind of torqued my screws badly on this. This was a political maneuver to make Obama look good. He's going to the D-Day thing, and he's got something he can brag about. Well, whatever. I had heard that also they were asking for some kind of bounty for the guy. Pay us so much, and we give him back. I think that would have been a better trade, personally. The lives lost or expended, good health, whatever, in terms of cost to capture those guys, I would imagine it's pretty steep. And I don't think the person they traded for, in my opinion, it was worth it. Next.
Right. Okay. When healing rooms become available, will there be a cost involved?
Yeah, a little bit of your time. Next.
Mm-hmm. Where are they? I'm struggling for a bit now for questions. Has the Dulce base been destroyed, to your knowledge?
I understood it was partially sealed both deep underground and toward the surface. Now, whether it's fully operational in terms of which one is the next question, because there's more than one there. And people miss this. You know, you never put all your eggs in one basket. Well, they do have enough common sense to know better than to do that. They'll bore a hole in the wall and interconnect stuff instead of having all their eggs in one basket. So there could be operations going on there now. I haven't personally checked, so I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. You just think it's one, you know, and it comes under many names. There's Area 51, there's White Sands, there's Dreamlands, and obviously Dulce. And you seem to think it's all the same one. Not necessarily, that's not necessarily correct.
Yeah.
Drake, anything you can tell us about the anomalies on the sun seen in the last few days, major plasma filaments?
Yeah, they're called CMEs, coronal mass ejections, and they light things up, and they look like a big snaky poo going through the sky all bright and all that. And you're going to see differentiations from what people consider norm. Now, there's a problem with that word and that context and that idea of normal. All my life, my blood pressure's been a little high. Always has been. Though all the doctors moaned about it, and maybe you shouldn't eat so much meat. And I said, yeah, right. You know, I'm supposed to go hungry because my blood pressure's up. If I start going hungry, it'll really go up. I'll be tearing the refrigerator door off trying to get something to eat. Norm, okay? We don't have a clue as to what norm is in terms of science. About 60 to 70% of all the science known is a friggin' lie based on assumption, and I think this is going to be like this. Exactly. Okay, anybody that don't understand that doesn't understand basic electronics. Now, I will tell everybody this. Go to a textbook store sometime or another, somebody that sells electronics textbooks. Find one that deals with electrical engineering, mathematics, and look in the disclaimer in the front near the bastard title page, and it will tell you that due to the fact that they don't know what's going on, they are basing all of their mathematics on the positive. Now, I hate to tell everybody, but electrons are negatively charged. So that means you're figuring something different. You're figuring out a relationship and whatnot, a reaction between two different things. Now, here's the other part. The reason for that is very simple. We don't have the capacity to deal in negatives and calculate squat. Divide by zero on your calculator and see what happens. And believe me, in physics, dividing by zero is common. take two away from one, and you'll get a negative number. Okay? Subtract zero and see what it does. It goes, error, doing, you hit me on the head again. Well, then you have the other problem. Each and every last portion of all of the operational procedures in all our mathematics are flat-based. At best, hemispherical. We do not have spherical mathematics. I got into that years ago when I was into numbers a lot and worked out some formulations, and things change. We don't have a trigonometric function that goes 280, stops at 180. You get an error if you go 181. On several of your trigonometric operations. This means that the basis of our mathematics is squirrely at best. So you take the imaginary things, matter is solid, except for all the spaces between the molecules. You know, you get into science and you'll find out that you've been lied to just like everything else. And they don't want you to know about hyperdimensional physics. They don't want you to know about the plasmic interactive drive systems that use antimatter. They don't want you to know about that shit. You'd be scared to death if aliens landed at the mall and out popped a U.S. Air Force colonel saying, "Hi, guys, I'm home," you know? So if you want to get into it, it's there. It ain't easy to get anymore, but you can still get the information. Next.
What is the holdup on Neil refiling his $1 trillion lawsuit?
That's in process. It's closer than you think. I'm not going to spoil the surprise. Neil says he wants it to be a surprise. So I'm not going to mess his surprise up. And that's all I'm going to tell you.
Good. What do you think should happen to all the alien channelers out there who have got it wrong regarding mankind's and Earth's outcome?
Well, they need to be educated. It's no big deal. When you find out the correct procedures, it's also easier. It feels right. You don't have to expend yourself in order to accomplish the goal. When you learn that time basically is man's idea, and that eternity is a Mobius strip, and infinity can be not only defined but relegated according to size, then you understand a lot of the physics involved in the next level. Next.
How is it possible that a material can be made physically indestructible? What kind of forces are brought to bear on the molecular structure to enable this to work? I don't know what they're referring to.
It's easy. The amount of force would be equivalent to discharging a 9-volt transistor battery. The key is the structural capability of whatever material you use. All materials that I'm aware of and extant are of the type that can be, regenerated into an indestructible quality. Now, that would be something that would be similar to catching a cork. Corks are funny. They come in and out of existence. And so you're going to have to be a pretty good ball player to get that mitt in the right spot. Capturing the equivalent in terms of at the right point in time of the structural structure taking place or building itself is very, very intricate. But it has been done. Okay?
Right. I think this person's slightly confused on this question, but I'll ask it how they worded it. Regarding the implementation of the collateral accounts, if the families refuse to hand them over, will the use of military, judicial, or militia force them into handing the money over and to be distributed to the people first without doing a Cyprus bank account effect?
Well, you got a problem there. First of all, the collateral accounts belong to all the people, meaning they are to benefit all of the people on the planet. You got to get that through your head first. Nobody owns it. We have custodians of the different bunkers and accounts, and we have people who are charged according to their family lineage over thousands of years of accrual and that sort of thing. Neil is going to be a representative or the representative for the collateral accounts. There's a little bit of a difference there. This does not mean we're going to be dropping tons of gold on the market or any of that. None of the governments are going to get any. You got to really think about these things. Most of the markets, as people are familiar with them, will change some, but most of it will continue as well in some form. So what you're going to end up with is some continuation with positive changes, and I mean heavy positive changes, and there's a lot of people looking for decent work. Well, if you start, if you've got thousands of trillions of dollars, what kind, how many projects could you start that would benefit man? How dirty are the oceans? How long is it going to take to clean them? How many hands we got? How nice would it be where we didn't have to have generative and distribution systems for electricity? You know, there's 1,000 million areas that these things will go into. And until, as you hire somebody in, it's not going to be a welfare deal in that you get X amount for not doing anything. You're definitely going to have to work for the money. But you prove that you're willing to show up and do something, and it's arbitrary as to what kind of raise you might get. And no, it ain't going to be a nickel on the hour like you get from these guys now. These penny pinchers can go someplace. What you're going to get is something decent. You prove you're worth, you're liable to double your pay. You prove that you can handle things, it might be more than that. Who knows? And it's not just a sky's the limit kind of thing. It's a deal where the more beneficial you are, the more you are compensated directly. So the monies will go to into two things, humanitarian projects. And I'll give you an example. There's a lot of water wells that need to be stuck in the ground in Africa. Tons of them all over the place. Rich as this world is, there's no reason people should want for water or food or some kind of decent clothing and reasonable place to live. There's no reason for that. The only reason that we've got right now is that there are greedy people who own everything or think they do. And the way you keep money isn't by keeping it. So go from there.
Right. Where are we? What will happen to farms after replicators are distributed?
What do you mean?
Will farms cease to exist?
Oh, I don't think so. And I'll tell you why. Replicators are all fine, well and good and all that. But from what I've been told, a replicated tomato, no matter how perfect that tomato was that was copied, ain't near as good as the one that comes out the garden anyway. So what you're going to get is sort of a store-bought in comparison to homegrown. And there's a difference. Then the other part is that anything that has a process to it, fermentation or otherwise, don't come out well in replicators. That means the brewers and everybody's going to have their stuff to do their thing. If you want cold beer, cheese, and things of that nature. I mean, you have to understand that, yeah, you can make some of the basic components, but the fermentation process, you got to have a crock, just like Granny did in the basement or in the root cellar. You have to, you don't have to, but there are a lot of things that are going to be different than what people think they should be. And the reason they are is simply because there are limitations. Okay?
Yes. That is a different question. What are your thoughts of Yael de Boer? Do you think that the material world was an unintended evil creation?
No. It's always been here. You have differing levels of existence, and what happened on planet Earth was that the angels, light beings, or whatever you wish to put on them as a handle, screwed up. They were instructed not to partake, and they partook. And when they did, the light slowed down, and matter resulted. More so, and more so, and more so. Now, in our present condition and situation, at the low levels that we function, I'm going to suggest that most of the physical items you have in our existence are there so that we have an orientation. You have to have something to hold on to in order to keep your sanity. And you don't want everybody going nuts. Pretty simple, isn't it?
Yes.
Next.
Right. Is there a universal test to verify past life memories like the three times test?
Excuse me. Yes. There's a combination of different records and types of records that are applicable to everything. Okay?
Right, okay. Are we close to a world where all the children can go to bed with full bellies?
We're trying to get there. It's closer than people realize because they haven't realized the simplicity of the problems we got and the taking care of that. So you're down the road just a little bit. Not terrible, but a little bit. Okay?
Right. Within the fourth, fifth, and sixth dimension and up, wouldn't the drastic changes you've been talking about apply to colors, shapes, sounds, scents, and textures? Everything within existence is infinite. For example, there are more color spectrums in 4D added to the ones we already have in 3D.
Yes. You'll also have the capability of being able to see them instead of not being able to see them. A good example of that is infrared and ultraviolet. I've trained myself to be able to see in those areas. So, and it's a whole different world. Insects and animals see in infrared or ultraviolet, one of the two, where we don't. That's how the deer can walk around at night and not get a stick in the eye when they go through the woods. Real simple stuff. Plus, their eyes are a bit bigger. But the things that are going to be extraordinarily different, all of them will not be presented to any individual at any given point all at once. It'll overwhelm you. It'll be presented slowly, kind of like going to a collegiate-level discovery class in nature. Let's put it that way, okay?
If our whole universe or world is holographic, how will it be switched off?
Who said it was going to be? there's no reason to switch it off, and the ideology of holographics is that's an interesting concept, but not exactly correct either. So you'll find that out as we make the transition.
Right, we're just about done, Drake. I'll leave you for a minute to sum up tonight's show and say your thing.
Oh, boy. Well, the summation would be longer than the time we got allowed. I'm thankful that Ben was on. It was a pleasure.
Yeah.
I always enjoy listening to some of the correctness that he does possess, and I look forward to possibly doing this again sometime. As far as my thing, it's real simple. Get her done.
Well, thanks for that, Drake. I thought that was a really good show. I agree with what you said with Ben. I thought he was very concise with what he said and gave people a deeper understanding on certain subjects that maybe they're not aware of, particularly on the Asian side. Well, that's all from us. We'll be back next Thursday. My name is Thomas Williams. Bye for now.